When clarinetist and saxophonist Don Byron puts together a new concert or CD, I'm always curious to see what he's up to. He's a terrific composer, but he often performs music of composers he loves, and his choices represent a wonderful mix of styles. Klezmer, Earth, Wind & Fire, The Sugar Hill Gang, Henry Mancini, Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass, Sly Stone, Lester Young, and Duke Ellington are just some examples. His new CD, Do the Boomerang, features tunes written or recorded by the saxophonist Junior Walker, including Walker's 1969 hit, What Does It Take?, and his first hit, Shotgun, from 1965. Here's Don Byron's band, with Dean Bowman doing the vocal. Don Byron, welcome back to Fresh Air. So why did you want to do an album of Junior Walker tunes?
I had always been a fan of Junior Walker's music, and I had never really had any way of really understanding it other than I liked it. And quite a few years ago, as I was moving through various phases, I discovered black gospel religion and culture, and found that a lot of the music that had happened in the 20th century was pretty much coming out of that. And in my exploration, I kind of figured out where he was coming from, that a lot of the mannerisms that he was using, if you want to call them mannerisms, were really gospelisms, and they came out of the singing and preaching of the black church.
What else do you hear in his playing or in his tunes that you didn't hear when you were younger?
Well, I think that's mostly it. It's kind of a vocal quality instead of doing what horn players are taught, which is studying other horn players. And I think as an American horn player, you're either in school a classical musician or a jazz musician. And when we're talking about jazz, we're talking about melodic material where the chords and the scales are kind of matched up and the melodies come out of the scales that are associated with the chords. What I could hear was another way of relating that was much more the way an R&B vocalist tends to relate to singing a song and improvising on and around the melody of it.
It's interesting, like Junior Walker had like several dance hits, you know, like Do the Boomerang and of course Shotgun. Mm-hmm. And you not too long ago were doing a show of early like Sugar Hill hip hop and rap records, which are also kind of like party music. But mm-hmm. It's completely it's like two different generations. Do you think a lot about how for a lot of people, music is purely generational. It's about what they grew up with as opposed to kind of listening to the music of many generations.
Well, I think as a musician, you don't think as much about, you know, generational difference as much as you think about stylistic difference. And I think the whole aspect of Junior Walker's music coming from gospel was something that was really new for me. About, I don't know how long ago it was, maybe 10 years ago, I started really paying attention to gospel music, first through checking out gospel preachers. And there was a group of them, Jasper Williams from Atlanta, William Ellis from Chicago, Paul Morton from New Orleans, that I checked out that I thought, even just speaking, I could hear the beginnings of gospel singing coming directly from these preachers. There's just a real connection within gospel culture, and even more now, the current gospel culture, you see the preaching alongside with the singing, alongside with the instrumental playing, like it's all kind of one piece. And as I was checking this stuff out and really, you know, believe it or not, discovering Jesus for myself, I started to see these connections. And as it was working its way through me, all of a sudden, man, I understand what this music is coming from. It really got into me.
So did I hear you correctly? Are you saying that through investigating gospel music and preachers that you ended up becoming Christian?
Yeah. I mean, I was Christian all along in the kind of way that, you know, somebody that's Catholic and doesn't go to church is Catholic and doesn't go to church. I was a Lutheran and didn't go to church. And the kind of church that I went to was, well, we had a British minister at my church in the South Bronx. In fact, I'm completely convinced that the guy was convinced that he was doing missionary work by ministering to us in the South Bronx. But, you know, the music wasn't really funky. It wasn't really coming out of this. In fact, you know, this kind of church culture was not what I was exposed to. But I will correct you that I think it was the preaching that I was checking out first. I was just in a period where some things that I was working on business-wise and didn't work out, and I was a little down about it. And then I started checking these guys out and what they were saying. It was like they were like this black rooting section for me. I felt like they were talking to me. They seemed to understand my situation in a certain kind of way that I had never really experienced in my church-going experience. I was like, wow, this is, where was this? You know, I could have, if I had known some of this stuff, I could have gotten through a lot more of the things that I went through with a lot more confidence. And then I discovered the music. It was kind of the other way around. So it was really, you know, when I say these guys kind of transformed my life, it wasn't so much that I checked out some music on an intellectual vibe and then I got a little Jesus. It was like the Jesus kind of came first.
So do you think of yourself as born again now?
I think of myself as kind of gussied up. not necessarily born again, just a little gussied up. I'm just a little gussied up, I think is the right word. I'm gussied up for Jesus, you know?
My guest is saxophonist, clarinetist, and composer Don Byron. His new CD, Do the Boomerang, features the music of Junior Walker. This is the track Mark Anthony Speaks. George Colligan is featured on the Hammond B3 organ. Interesting quote by you. You said that you think of yourself as having been influenced by Lee Strasberg, the great actor who was also famous for teaching the method. And mm-hmm. and you said that it gave you the idea that you could change yourself musically the way an actor changes for different roles. And I was wondering how deep that change goes. I mean, when you change yourself musically, Is it just the music that's changing, or are you changing other things? Like in a performance, do you behave differently on stage? Do you dress differently? And when you're home working through different periods or different styles of music, do you find your own personality changing during that period?
Wow, that's yet another super provocative question of yours. I would say, for the most part, no. But in this particular case, you know, getting to a place where I could play Junior Walker's music meant really dealing with gospel blues in a way that was very personal. I don't think I could have gotten to this music without embracing some of the boundless hope of gospel music. And I think to do this project, I had to have some kind of epiphany about the structure of my religious beliefs. And in that way, it's a much bigger change than playing, say, klezmer music, where, there was never any kind of feeling when I was playing klezmer music that I wasn't like the same person, like a Christian person from the Bronx. But then, as I said, the whole mentality around embracing this culture is a big change for me. It's also a big change for me trying to be more positive. You know, trying to be more positive is a big change for a person like me. You know, like, my thing is, you know, dark to very dark.
But, you know, there's a real darkness to Junior Walker's music, which I don't think I noticed until I was listening to you and then going back and listening to him again. I didn't notice that in the 60s when I was listening to him.
Yeah, I think it's, I think the best word I would say is smoky.
Uh-huh.
It's a little smoky tinge to everything. It's, you know, and a lot of it is associations we have with the kind of sound on those records, the instruments, like he often has organ on his records, which a lot of Motown records don't have organ. They have piano. The organ is much more of an atmospheric kind of thing, but there's a kind of sadness, kind of bluesy sadness, and a kind of smoky laid backness to some of the music. Certainly a piece like Cleo's Mood really has that very heavily.
And anything else you want to tell us about Junior Walker and why you like his music so much?
Well, I think when we're talking about horn players who have this kind of gospel blues heavy influence, the ones that people remember are a lot of the ones that are attached to the big vocalists of a period. So with Ray Charles, we've got Hank Crawford and Fathead Newman. With James Brown, there's Maceo Parker and Fred Wesley. With Aretha, there's King Curtis. And, you know, that kind of interplay that I was talking about before between a soloist and a singer, you really feel that when Maceo's in there. You know, James Brown is alive. He's like happy to hear how Maceo is taking what he sung and converted it into his own version of that language. And I think what's amazing about Junior Walker is he is actually his own singer inspiration.
Well, Don Byron, great to talk with you again. Thanks a lot for talking with us.
Well, thank you, Terry.
Don Byron's new CD is Do the Boomerang, the music of Junior Walker. Some of Byron's own compositions are featured on the latest Bang on a Can CD, A Ballad for Many.